Blog Talk Radio.
And praise the Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Dean with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministry, along with the Life Support Outreach Church and our prayer room ministries. I'm so delighted to be back on our radio broadcast on tonight. I give God all the praise and glory. On tonight, I magnify his holy name on tonight. God is such a good God, and I give him glory. Wait just one second. Okay. Give me just one second. I'm trying to get set up here. I just ran behind a little bit. But God is such a good God, and I just thank God so much for the things that he does for us. We're going to get ready to, wait a minute, that's the wrong thing to push. That's the other wrong thing. Just give me one second, everybody. Okay, Blog Talk Radio. God is such a good God. It's always something when it comes to my radio broadcast. The devil is a lie in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask you right now to get it right, God, for me in the name of Jesus. Lord, I give you glory. I give you praise on today. I give you glory today. We're going to get ready to start our radio broadcast, our Bible class. We're going to have a short devotion. We're going to have a song, a scripture, and a prayer. Wait just one minute. We're going to have a song, a scripture, and a prayer. This thing is something. Lord, have mercy. Okay. I'm trying to get it where you all can answer, ask me questions. Just give me 2 minutes because I can't let it go like this. Give me a couple of seconds. I never had this problem. Well, this, I'm just going to have to do it like this, y'all. Just hold on. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. I see you now. Amen. We're not going to have a song because I can't play it, but we're going to have get ready for our scripture reading. Scripture reading will be coming from Psalm 78. It says, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he have done. For he have established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generations to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their hearts aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. I have just read you from Psalm 78, from the 1st through the 8th verse. May God richly add a blessing to the hearers of his most and the doers of his most holy word. Father, we come tonight humbly before your throne of grace, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, Father, that we've committed against you in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we come on tonight, God, giving you praise, giving you glory, magnifying your holy name. God, we just thank you today. Thank you, Lord. We ask you tonight to open up our minds and open up our hearts that we may receive your word. Open up our understanding tonight in the name of Jesus. Father, I ask you to move me from myself and let the Holy Spirit teach us and minister to us on tonight, God. I ask you to let me decrease that the Holy Ghost may increase on tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we give you glory. We give you praise. We ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. Amen, amen. And thank you, Father. We just going to talk a little bit about, try to finish it up, about the Sabbath, about who changed the Sabbath. And I just thank and praise God for that. Who changed the Sabbath? We talked a little bit about it last week, who changed the Sabbath. So we're going to get right back on it this week because we need to know this, because everybody thinks the Sabbath, a lot of people, not everybody, but a lot of people think the Sabbath on a Sunday, but it's not. So we're going to start on the last little paragraph on this page. It says, and after they arrested Paul and put him on trial before the Sanhedrin, the Pharisees said, we find no evil in this man. That's in Acts. That's in Acts 23 and 9. Paul stated before Felix, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets. Acts 24 and 14. Paul declared, neither against the law of the Jews, neither against the temple, nor yet against Caesar, have I offended anything at all. To the Jews, have I done no wrong? And to Agrippa, Paul said, I continue unto this day saying, none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. And that's in Acts 26 and 22. Did the prophets or Moses say that Sunday keeping should come? No. Paul finally spoke to the Jews in Rome, persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning to evening. Over in Acts 28, verse 23, Paul was trying to persuade the Jews. During all of Paul's trials, the Jews not so much as once accused Paul of breaking the Sabbath. Why? Because Paul never did. Paul was a Pharisee since childhood, and so there can be no doubt that Saturday is the only day Paul ever kept. Some say that the Sabbath is not a day of worship, but Scripture definitely shows otherwise. What day was the custom of Jesus and Paul to preach and worship on? Many churches today, worship services is on any day of the week, but in the beginning of it, it is perfectly clear that they only did this on the Sabbath day. The seven-day Sabbath. I am not saying that we cannot worship on any other weekday, but just want you to note that in the days of the early church, they only held worship service on the Sabbath day. You can consider what this means for yourself, but you may like to consider if any of the scriptures we are quoting or assumptions are Acts chapter 2, Acts 20 and 7, 1 Corinthians 16 and 2, John 20 and 19, assumptions. Do any of these scriptures say Paul was preaching in the synagogue on the new Sabbath, that is now Sunday, or Paul was preaching in the synagogue on the first day of the week, which is the new Sabbath, or Jesus changed his mind and now he is going to change his law by more than a jot or a tittle and has changed the Sabbath to Sunday? If the Sabbath was changed to Sunday in the Bible and the early church was worshiping habitually on the first day of the week, as those deceived try and tell us, there would certainly be no shortage of scripture showing someone worshiping in the synagogue church on the first day of the week. However, did you know that there is not one single verse or one single person found worshiping in the synagogue on the first day of the week anywhere in the Bible? There are, however, heaps of scriptures that show it was only the Sabbath the early church habitually worshiped on. Unlike those trying to prove a fallacy, you would note that these scriptures are not assumptions. And so they got a lot of scriptures down where you can prove or you can see it in the Bible. They got a lot of scriptures down for it. So, you know, we just have to make sure that we keep in the Sabbath like the Lord say. That's my most important thing, because, you know, it's another thing when we don't know it, but it's going to bless your body. It'll bless your mind. It'll bless your spirit, because when you be resting, sometimes you feel guilty. Oh, I need to be up doing this, or I should be doing this. But the Lord say rest. And, you know, it is some few things you probably might do. It's just by habit. You know, you might do it just by habit, but, you know, when you rest and know it's right to rest on the Sabbath, then you good. So the Sabbath and the new covenant. It says the following story also reveals that many do not understand the future proves that a Sabbath to Sunday change in the Bible is absolutely impossible. It says, I had just finished preaching on the subject of the Sabbath in one of my evangelistic crusades. As I stepped out of the platform to greet people as they left, three young men blocked my way in the aisle. One of them addressed me as quite a loud voice, loud enough to cause about 50 people near the front of the auditorium to stop and listen. He said, "Dear brother," he said, "we were disappointed tonight the way you put us back under the old covenant. Don't you realize that we are living tonight with the way you put, up under the new covenant?" I'm reading two lines, man. "Don't you realize that we are living under the new covenant now and should keep Sunday instead of the Sabbath?" Although most of the congregation were leaving the church, the group near the front gathered closer to hear all that the young men were saying. It was obvious that I would have to take the time to answer this trio challenging question. He said, "As I suspected, they turned out to be young seminarians in training at a local Bible college. Eagerly, they held their Bibles in their hands and waited triumphantly for me to answer. Usually, I do not like to debate controversial matters in a public forum for fear of stirring combative natures, but there seemed no way to avoid dealing with these ministers. Students. Anyway, they had my path completely blocked. Circle of listeners looked at me unexpectedly for some explanation. Well, it seemed as though you have studied the subject of the covenant quite deeply," I suggested. Oh yes, they affirmed. "We know all about the covenant." "Good," I replied. you undoubtedly know when the old covenant was instituted. One of them spoke up quickly. It was instituted at the Mount Sinai. And how was it ratified? I asked. Without a moment hesitation, one of them answered, by the sprinkling of the blood of an ox. Very good. I commanded them. And how was the New Testament ratified? All three coerced the answer by the blood of Jesus on the cross. I commended the young men for their knowledge of the scriptures and asked them to read me two verses out of their own Bible. And they read from Galatians 3:15 and Hebrews chapter 9, verse 16 and 17. They responded eagerly to the invitation and read the verses, commenting on each one after reading. We agreed that the new covenant did not go into effect until after Christ died, and nothing could be added or taken away after he ratified it on the cross. The spokesman for the group asserted. All three nodded their heads over this point. I said, now you must answer two more questions for me. Here is the first one, and you must think carefully to give me the correct answer. When did Sunday keeping begin? There was a moment of shocked silence, and then another and another. The boys looked at each other, and then down at their feet, and then back at me. I gently prodded them for the answer. Surely you can tell me the answer to this question. You have known all the others and have answered correctly. When and why do you think people began keeping Sunday? Finally, one of them said, we keep Sunday in honor of the resurrection of Jesus. I said, then, I must ask you my last question. How could Sunday keeping be a part of the covenant? You just stated that nothing could be added after the death of Christ. He died on a Friday and was resurrected on a Sunday. If Sunday was added after Jesus died, it could never be a part of the new covenant, could it? The three young men shuffled their feet, looked helplessly around, and one of them said, we will study into that and talk to you later. They then fled from the auditorium as fast as they could go, and I can assure you that they never returned to talk further about the covenant. And besides that, the witness of history and how many died for keeping the seventh-day Sabbath because of the real truth on how the day was changed, there could be no doubt that those who say the Sabbath was changed from Saturday to Sunday based on Acts 20:7 are deceived and are either deliberately trying to avoid the fourth commandment or just did not bother to study the scripture and the history. Well, see, when it goes like that, and you know, we start trying to think we know so much, you have to really know what you're talking about, especially when you, and it has to be coming from the Word of God. It can't just be what we think and what we make up. It's got to come from the Word, and you can't add to God's Word, he said, and you can't take away not one jot or tittle from his Word. You're not supposed to do it. It's a sin. So when you're talking about this is so important, that's why I'm taking the time to explain it the best that I can with the Holy Spirit using me. Because I don't know nothing. I always thought it was on Sunday. I mean, I have worshiped every day of the week. But when I found out and realized, I didn't find out, I knew it, but just didn't sink in that the Sabbath was one of the commandments. God commands us to honor the Sabbath and keep it holy, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. He commands us to do that. So it's so very important to do it. Just like thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal. It's the same thing. Those are commandments that he gave Moses to give to us. That's the same thing. So we need to know that when we don't keep the Sabbath, it's a sin. We can repent from it, but it's still there. It's still there. So, I mean, many, many years. I just found this out about 10 years ago, 8 years ago. I mean, I have went to the Seventh-day Adventist church. I have went to those churches, and they had good service on a Saturday just to be with friends and church people. I never joined any Seventh-day Adventist church. I never did that, but because the Word of God says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. He didn't tell me I had to go join the Seventh-day Adventist church. So we have to really be careful. And it's a real deep situation because we don't want to just be sinning, willfully sinning, because we feel like we ain't supposed to worship God on the Sabbath. And let me finish reading this. And it says, the last thing we need is people assisting Satan in disobeying God's Ten Commandments. My apologies for being direct, but it really grieves me to see Christians that claim to love God with all their heart, soul, and might, but fight with all their heart, soul, and might to bury one of the Ten Commandments of God. That is a sign that he is our God, that we love and worship, and God that sanctifies us, making us holy when we keep his Sabbath holy. Does one really believe we have to try and establish if one of the Ten Commandments changed by going? That looks like Sunday meeting. God must have changed the day. And how could this be when Jesus said that not one jot or tittle of the law is changing? The fourth is the biggest of the Ten Commandments, and a jot or tittle is equivalent to crossing your T's and dotting your I's. If God said to you, I added an extra day of the week at creation just so you can rest and spend really good quality time with me, so will you please put all work to one side on this day and devote it entirely to me? Would you reply, no way, God, I forgot it. I have other things, legalism, and too much of an effort. I don't have to do that. That day is not convenient for me, but I will spend some time with you on Sunday if you like. Is this how most would really respond to God? Apparently so, because this is what many Christians are doing when they try to make God's Ten Commandments into nine or even none. The majority are doing this. However, there are many doing this in ignorance, because people have deceived them with wrong information that are also disobedient, also deceived, okay, or would like others to join them so they feel more comfortable in their act of disobedience. These people spend their time putting up websites and condemning and attacking those who love God and finding this day a delight. This is no doubt what spirit is behind this. Acts 20:7 is just one example, and you can see just how wrong they are. Below are a few of the other common excuses in brief detail that people come up with to try and avoid the fourth commandment. That's remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. The common Sabbath day misunderstood. That's the name of this part right here. It says, the Sabbath of the Lord is not ceremonial Sabbath that was practiced because of sin. Breaking it or any of the Ten Commandments is sin. The ceremonial law was written in a book, and why it was also called the Book of the Covenant. This is where God would have written it if it was for Israel only, but God wrote it in stone with the other nine commandments. Have you ever heard the expression, it is not written by stone? Written in stone means forever. On paper and on a book is temporarily. So put very simple, God had two main laws. He had two main laws. One was temporarily and only for the Jews and was nailed to the cross. The other was written in stone and was eternal and for everyone. And if the Sabbath of the Lord was temporary, only for the Jews, which law would you place? Would you place in it the temporary law or the eternal law? So did God place it in the temporary law that was only for the Jews? No, God placed it in the law that was eternal and for everyone. So unless God is the author of confusion, then this alone reveals the truth. God makes a distinction between his Sabbath and the ceremonial Sabbath in the Ten Commandments by exhorting, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. Exodus 20, verse 10. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 14. It is the Lord's Sabbath. It did not belong to Israel. God further demonstrates that this by calling his Sabbath, my Sabbath, as in his weekly Sabbath. And that's in Exodus 31 and 13, Ezekiel 20 and 20. While calling the ceremonial Sabbath that was only for Israel, her Sabbath. Hosea 2 and 11, Lamentations 1 and 7. Loving God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself does not turn the timid commandments into nine or none. Jesus said all the law hang on these two commandments into nine or none. Okay, y'all know I'm reading two lines. The law hangs on these two commandments, as he quoted Deuteronomy chapter 6 verse 5, which is 17 verses after the second reading of the Ten Commandments. When no one can argue the fourth commandment was being kept, the Sabbath has existed since creation. Only reason we have a seven-day week before sin and Jews and God asks us to remember the day where he personally gave his law and all flesh keep the Sabbath forever in the new heaven and in the new earth. That's in Isaiah 66, verse 22 and 23. Does anyone have any questions? I'm just going hard at it. Okay. Luke 23 and 56 says, they rested the Sabbath day according to the commandments, and Luke was written 30 to 50 years after the cross. Jesus confirmed the Sabbath would still be kept when the temple was destroyed in 70 AD. And yet another period of Sabbath keeping in the New Testament, leading historians says that the Sabbath was kept by everyone until around 90 to 120 AD, where persecution for Judaism became so intense that some began keeping Sunday, saying it was in honor of the Judaism, No, it was in honor of the resurrection to avoid persecution. Baptism is the memorial for the resurrection commanded in the Bible. God attests the correct day matters when he tested his children to see if they would keep his commandments. And by testing, if they would keep the 7 day. We worship God every day, but if we keep the Sabbath every day, we would not be holy. We would be lazy. We should not mock God when he says the 7 day by telling him he is wrong, saying we can keep any day of the, or the day does not matter. It is not the Sabbath of the Jews. There were no Jews at creation or when the Ten Commandments were given. And God is not a God of confusion that mixes temporary laws with eternal laws. The Ten Commandments are love and for everyone. This should be obvious to anyone who thinks or who truly loves God with all their heart. The Ten Commandments or the Sabbath were not nailed to the cross according to Colossians 2:16. Paul speaks of the audience, the ceremonial laws, which had yearly ceremonial Sabbaths that were nailed to the cross. Galatians 4:10 does not say that we can observe any day or that the Sabbath was bondage. Paul refers to the ceremonial laws here also that he called bondage, which it was. And this law did include days, times, months, and years. We cannot decide to keep or not to keep the Sabbath based on Romans 14:5, which is about Jews and Gentiles judging one another and was over the yearly feast days of the ceremonial law. Note the following commentary in Romans 14:5 and how it associates all three of these passages and with the ceremonial laws. See also confusion between the Ten Commandments and the ceremonial laws. All of this is good to learn and to know, but I'm trying to get to who changed the Sabbath, because I know who changed. I did some research, and I ain't going to say all research and commentary is right, but I know who changed it. Constantine changed it. And if you would research it, it would tell you Constantine changed it and why he changed it. But I just want to go on, you know, and I hate to skip anything because I want you all to know it, and I want to be able to tell you where to go look it up in. So while comparing these two passages, note that the ceremonial laws, messianic laws, audience laws of Moses, etc., had meat and drink offering, holy feast days, new moon months, and Sabbath yearly that were only for the Jews and ended at the cross. See also Adam and Clark and Albert Barnes. It's a lot of commentaries that put insights on this. And but when it comes to the fourth commandment, there seems to be three basic groups of people. Group one know the truth and keep all Ten Commandments and state that the fourth commandment is a blessing and their favorite day of the week. Group two, which is comprised of most churches, have one of a 101 different excuses. Group three is the Catholic Church, and they have only one excuse. We can't change the law of God. The crazy thing is that the group two, with all their different excuses, very rarely know that group three changed the commandments, and it was they that worship on Sunday. Satan really has this one all wrapped up and clapped his hands with glee with the victory he has achieved over the one very special commandment, that it is not just about resting, but defines who we worship. Because it's like, on that day, it represent God. It represent you obeying God when you do that, keep that commandment. I mean, we should obey all commandments, and we always, you know, we don't always do that. But we can repent and start doing it. True repentance is to turn from what you're doing or stop what you're doing and start doing right. So, and even if it's times like on Saturdays when I do other things, I have to repent. God knows my heart, and that's not an excuse because it's a commandment. Just like if we lie and, you know, and stuff like that, we're not supposed to just willfully sin and don't never repent. We got to repent for doing these things. And to not to repent is just saying, oh, I don't even believe in no way. You know what I'm saying? Well, you got to start repenting and letting God know, I know this the day that you said, I know this is the fourth commandment. I know I'm supposed to do this, but I did this. So I repent. I'm so sorry for doing this. And see, it's a lot of things we don't know, but when it's time, when God says it's time for you to know, this is a time like this. This is a time for you to know. He put in your destiny for you to know Saturday is the Sabbath. Sunday is the first day of the week. This is time for you to know. When I found out, I was like, oh, no, I've been working on Sunday for 40 years, and here you're going to tell me this and that and that. I didn't want to hear it. But when you can see it, when you research it for yourself, when you look and pray and ask God, when you just open your heart and mind and let the Holy Spirit minister to you and let you know this is the word, this is in the word of God. Like I said last week, the first day of the week is Sunday. Your check starts from Sunday. It's on every check you get, work check. If not, it would be on Saturday. But again, Constantine changed it because he had something to do. So he couldn't do it on Saturday. And he was emperor or king, whatever he was, he changed it to Sunday and went right on. And it hasn't been changed back since. But God didn't change it. God made the laws, and he put the Ten Commandments, and he put this in the Ten Commandments, and he said, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's every time I've been doing other things on the Sabbath. That's what I get in my ear. That's what I hear in my ear. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's why I have to repent. I have to repent because he ain't asking a whole lot. I mean, because we was brought up on a Sunday, because we was brought up going to church on a Sunday, don't make it right. Don't make it what God says. It don't make it like that. So, our parents, me for one, only taught my children what I knew and what somebody else taught me. But that's why I'm teaching people now. Don't make you know Seventh-day Adventist when people found out that we was worshiping and keeping the Sabbath. They was putting out that we was Seventh-day Adventist. I don't care what they say. I ain't no people pleaser. I don't care what they say about me. I'm commandment out of the Ten Commandments. But I guess stupid people don't know that, and I forgive me for saying that, because they putting out rumors and stuff, and they don't know it's sitting right there in the Ten Commandments. They don't know that. But they, you know, they got to give account of that to God. Because you can't, you know, God, he know our heart. He know what we're going to do before we do it. He know what we thinking and everything. So ain't no use us trying to trick and change and our thoughts and all this, because he already know your thoughts. He already know what you're saying in your heart. He already know what you're going to do before you do it. So we got to get this thing right. God know when you're trying to do right. God knows when you want to do right. He know that. So we got to get it right. We can't play with God like that. It's too many people leaving here for playing stupid little games like that. He ain't playing no more. He used to wink at man's ignorance. He used to look over man's ignorance, but he ain't doing it no more. He said, I done sent this messenger. I done sent this priest. I done sent this evangelist. I done sent this person. I done sent this rabbi to tell you to keep the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. I even wrote it in stone for you, and you're not keeping it. You're not doing it. It was so hard for me to do when I first started trying to do it because that was my day to shop, to clean my house, to do everything, but so to go to church for Sunday. It was difficult. But, honey, when you start doing it and you just start and keep it and keep doing it, feel like it's a ball of peace up in there. On Saturday, no television on, no nothing. You're not doing nothing but relaxing and going before the Lord and studying your word. When I tell you, just peace in the house. You don't hear no noise. Like he just barricaded all the windows and everything so you can't hear nothing on the outside. I don't care how pretty the day is outside. I don't even stress about going. If I want to go out, I go sit on the back porch. Have my Bible or my phone with me, listen to the word of God or whatever. But I'm keeping the Sabbath. That's exactly what we have to do. We have to obey the Lord. We have to keep what he's telling us. I mean, that's very important. It's very important. Let me see where we are. Any questions before I go on? Let me see. It says, no, Satan has always had a long-term plan in attacking the law of God, which should be blatantly obvious to us and is desperate to keep Christians from discovering the real truth on the fourth commandment. As a result, you will find that he has had no trouble in finding those that he can bring against the truth. The deceiver, however, are fairly easy to spot as they claim the early church worship habitually on the first day of the week based on those few scriptures that were covered and had proven to be nothing but deliberate attempts to provide a lie. They also often attack the issue of sun worship, Constantine, and the Catholic Church, saying that for quoting the truth cannot make up their minds who changed the Sabbath to Sunday, or they even claim that none were involved and deny all the historical quotes while giving some of their own quotes. Those who did yield to temptation and began keeping Sunday in honor of the resurrection against God's will. Now, you know Sunday is a pagan name, and they worship the sun god or something like that. The truth that they usually avoid is that all three played a part in the Sabbath to Sunday change. Also, typically, Colossians chapter 2, verse 16, Galatians 4 and 10, Romans 14 and 5, these are you who have seen are also quoted in ignorance. And if you understand these passages, you will be able to easily identify those deceived by those quoting them, which thereby demonstrates they have no idea what the truth is. And since Colossians chapter 2, verse 14 through 16, for very detailed information on the passage as well as Galatians 4 and 10 and Romans 14 and 5. Also see Galatians and the law for truth on the very abuse of misunderstanding of a misunderstanding book. The Sabbath to Sunday change We now know that the change of the Sabbath to Sunday did not occur in the Bible, and the real truth will permanently seal the death of this fallacy. Leading historians say that the Sabbath was kept by the majority until at approximately 90 to 120 A.D. were persecuted by Judaism became so intense that some began keeping the Sunday, saying it was in honor of the resurrection to avoid persecution and death. Area where Sunday keeping began was Rome and Alexandria, but the exact year is not known. While some of the facts may be somewhat sketchy, there are plenty of solid facts that make it perfectly clear how the day was changed. What is also abundantly clear is that Judaism had become much hated, and why some Christians had changed to Sunday in fear of persecution in their lives. Constantine also knew this, and with sun worship now being so popular throughout the Roman Empire, realized he would not get much opposition to a Sunday change. So here is a brief exegesis on how the Sabbath was changed from Saturday to Sunday. See, the original of Babylon and the sun worship first. For a much better understanding of this topic and the real origin of the change, in Matthew 24, verses 1 and 2 says, Jesus predicted that every stone of the Jewish temple would be thrown down. This occurred when the temple was destroyed by the Romans during the first Jewish war in 70 AD. And when the Romans made war against the Jews from 132 to 135 AD, the Roman Empire, Hadrian, banished all Jews from Palestine. These Jews' wars took place after the book of Acts was written and resulted in great pressure on the early church, Christian church, to move away from anything that appeared Jewish, including the Sabbath. Since Sunday was already popular throughout the Roman Empire as a day of sun worship, some Christian leaders, now called the early church fathers, yield to temptation and began shifting from Sabbath to Sunday. Jesus Christ rose on a Sunday because they're rationalizing Christ. Thus, they used the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who died for our sins, of which sin is the breaking of God's law, excuse to break one of the Ten Commandments. Because the early church fathers yield to temptation and began keeping Sunday in honor of the resurrection, there's also eventually resulted in Sunday being called the Lord's Day. But it was not and is not the Lord's Day as so designated in the Bible. Just like today, these people chose tradition and their own ideas rather than the commandments of God. That's Mark 7, chapter 7, verse 6 through 9. Before the temple was destroyed in 70 A.D., a strong Christian church was planted inside the city of Rome itself, in the heart of the Roman Empire. Paul wrote his letter, the Epistle of Paul to the Romans, and to those early believers in Rome, Romans 1 and 7, because it was surrounded by paganism inside the world's mightiest capital, the church soon experienced a falling away. See 2 Thessalonians 2 and 3. From the purity of the gospel and the metamorpho into the wealthy and powerful Roman Catholic Church, this transition especially took place during the time of the Emperor Constantine in the 4th century, who favored the Roman Catholic Church above all other churches. 312 A.D., prior to his pivotal victory over his rival Maxentius at the Battle of Mavaya Bridge, Constantine became a Christian after claiming to see in broad daylight a vision of a cross above the sun. With these words, embalmed in hot, or whatever that is, it's saying these words, by this sign conquer, is what it said. After defending his enemy and becoming emperor of Rome, Constantine presided in full war pomp over the first consul of Nicaea in 325 A.D. And as a shrewd politician genius, his scheme was to unite paganism in an effort to strengthen his distinguishing empire. Constantine knew that pagans throughout the empire worshiped the sun on the first day of the week, and he discovered that many Christians, and especially in Rome and Alexandria, also kept Sunday because Christ rose from the dead on that day. So Constantine developed a plan to unite both groups on the common platform of Sunday keeping on March the 7th, 321 A.D., he passed his famous national Sunday law. That's the day he passed. He changed the law from Saturday to Sunday. The first Sunday law enacted by Emperor Constantine. On the venerable day of the sun, let the magistracy and people residing in cities rest, and let all workshops be closed in the country. However, persons engaged in agriculture may freely and lawfully continue their pursuit, because it often happens that another day is not so suitable for grain sowing or for vine planting, lest by neglecting the proper moment for such operations, the bounty of heaven should be lost. Given the seventh day of March, what is that, Christus and Constantine being consult, each of them for the second time, Codex Justinianus, and some more names here. Now a professed Christian, Constantine nevertheless remained a devout sun worshiper. The sun was universally celebrated as the invincible guide and protector of Constantine, notes Edward Gibson in his classic Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire. Constantine even printed coins which bore on the one side the letters of the name of Christ, on the other the figure of the sun god. Arthur P. Stanley, History of the Eastern Church. Again, Constantine promotion of Sunday observing was part of his definite strategy to combine paganism with Christianity. The retention of the old pagan name of Dies, Solas, or Sunday for the weekly Christian festival is in great measure owing to the union of the pagan and Christian sentiment with which the first day of the week was recommended by Constantine to his subject, pagan and Christian alike, as the venerable day of the sun. So that was that. And I still got about 3 more pages to go, but we'll do it Thursday. But I really wanted you all to hear and know that for yourself, because it's time for you to know. And like I said, it's a sin not to keep the Sabbath on this Sabbath day. He said, remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. So we know that now. So we're not going to worry about that now. We know for ourselves that we're supposed to keep that Sabbath, and we don't have to worry about anything else. And like I said, when you run, you're visiting, you're going out of town, you're doing other things,
ask God for forgiveness. Ask Him for forgiveness. He'll forgive us. He'll forgive us for everything except blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost. Meaning when you ask Him, He'll forgive you. He already knows that what you had planned anyway. He already know everything anyway. So He know that. Amen. And praise God, I'm not going to hold on too much longer. I'm getting sleepy, and it's almost time for me to get ready to go to work. I don't know. But anyway, I'm praying about having the prayer in the morning. I don't want to come out of the hospital looking crazy in the morning and get on the plan. I don't know. If I have enough strength to do it, I will do it. I'm just not going to. I'm going to leave my robe in the car and stuff, and I can put it on in the car. But if I can't, you know, I won't do it. But I don't want to be looking crazy. I'm going to take all of my equipment and stuff with me to do it. Because, you know, when you make your excuses not to do what God called you to do, you better be trying to do it. So it's a sacrifice, but He allowed me to work this little time I'm going to work, and I got to do what I got to do. So anyway, I'm not going to hold y'all. I hope you all have enjoyed listening, and we got about 3 or 4 more pages, and we'll be done with it. But I really just wanted you to know that Constantine changed the Sabbath day from Saturday to Sunday, and that's why everybody just doing what the Catholics say. And I can remember Keith saying that he know for a fact that the most sound doctrine is the doctrine of the Catholic people, and it's not. But, you know, he was saying they always orderly and keeping stuff in order. So that Constantine tried to get the Christians and the Catholics together or something in that effect. And we have to be careful about that because people worship statues and idol gods like that. And we don't do that as Christians, as believers. So anyway, we're going to get ready. Was there any questions? Amen. Well, we're going to get ready to close out. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you tonight for everyone under the sound of my voice. I ask you to cover each one of them in the shed blood of Jesus in their families and children and families, and keep them covered up under the shed blood of Jesus. Encamp angels, Lord. Build a hedge of protection around them, God. Lord, I ask you to cover their minds and their thoughts on today. Cover the cars and trucks that they drive, God. Even if they're on the bus, God, I ask you to cover today in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for giving us insight on the things that we need to know, God. We just give you praise. We ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. God bless you all. I love y'all. Thank y'all for coming on. It encouraged me when I see this many people on there, even though I'm sleepy and don't want to go out of here. But thank y'all so much. I love you. Have a good night. Amen. God bless you. God bless you, honey.
Amen. God bless you. I love you.
God bless you. I love you, too. Thank you.